Well, once again, we're continuing our series titled The Bible, A True Story. It's a series that has been kind of taking us through the Bible. Now, it's not an extensive, you know, chapter by chapter look at the Bible, but kind of rather an overview that takes us through some of the most popular stories, some of the most common people that we've heard about in the Bible, people that I really think that as believers we should be aware of. We should be aware of these people. We should be aware of these stories. And so last week we jumped into 1 Samuel chapter 1 as we looked at Hannah, who we found out was the mother of Samuel, the one that this book is actually named after. And today we're actually going to look at Samuel himself. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, we're actually going to look at a story this morning that many of you might be familiar with if you grew up in church at all. It's the story where Samuel first hears the voice of the Lord as a little boy. Now, if you've been around here for any period of time, if you've come to this church at all, you've heard me use the phrase, following Jesus. I generally find a way to fit it into my message each week, and that's because it's something that we as Christians are called to do. We're called Christ followers, Jesus followers. We're called to take up our cross and to follow Him. And our whole life is a journey of learning what it looks like to truly follow Jesus. And a big part of that journey, I think, is learning how to hear His voice. To hear His voice so that we can live the life, that we can truly follow Him in the way that He's called us to follow Him, so that we can distinguish His voice versus other voices that are out there, those other voices that pull us in different directions. And the truth is when we talk about hearing the Lord, it's not easy. It's not easy to hear God's voice, but I believe this. I believe it's vital if we want to live the lives that God is calling us to live. The truth is, oftentimes I think we're guessing, right? Or we're letting situations or circumstances around us make decisions for us. Let me just kind of share with you an example of what I'm talking about. As Christians, oftentimes we love to use the phrase that God is opening or closing a door, which if you've been around here too, you know that I do not like that phrase, okay? But we use this phrase, God is opening or closing a door. And I think we like to use these phrases to justify why we did or didn't do something. Now, I will say this, I don't deny the fact that God does open doors. He does close doors. We know that, it's true. But I also know that we have an enemy out there that loves to make us think that a door is closed, that loves to make us think that a door over here is opening, where he's trying to pull us and get us to do things that aren't what God is desiring us to do. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is this, is God really closing this door? Oh yeah, this door is closing. Is that true? Or is it maybe just our fear that's keeping us from stepping through that door? Or is God really opening? Oh, this door, it's opened up. It's wide. Look how big it is. That should scare you a little bit sometimes. But is God really opening the door, or is it just an easy way out of the challenges that God is allowing us to go through to strengthen us, to mold us and shape us into who He's calling us to be? You see, I believe that there are some times that the enemy tries to close the door, and we need to get out our boots and kick the stinking door down. I think of the scripture, the gates of hell shall not prevail. We've heard that scripture. You know what I think of when I think of that scripture? I think of the reality that we are trying to follow Jesus. We are trying to live the life that God's called us to live. And the enemy is trying to put up walls, is trying to put up these gates around us to keep us from moving forward, to keep us from following Jesus. And we have every right to kick the stinking gate down. right? To push our way through those blockades that the enemy is trying to put up, that the enemy is trying to say is a closed door. And I think sometimes we need to keep ourselves from jumping through these doors that the enemy opens. It's like, here, let me open these gates so that I can hold you in here and block you in. And he's like, jump through this. And we have to be aware of that and keep ourselves from jumping through doors that God himself did not actually open. But the thing is, it's hard to know when it's God and when it's not God. And it requires us to figure out, are we really hearing the voice of God, or are we just being influenced by other things? Because if you remember back in Exodus, as we've been walking through the Bible, back in Exodus, the Israelites, they thought a door was closing. God had said, I'm giving you this promised land. And so they send out 12 spies, right? 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? He sent out these spies to spy on Canaan. And they come back and they're like, oh man, yeah, it's full of, you know, milk and honey and fruit. It's amazing land, but there are giants. They're scary. We can't defeat them. God must be closing the door. And they didn't say that, but really that's what they were saying. Nope, nope, this is not for us. This is, we'll die. It can't happen. And they talked themselves into believing that God had closed this door, that now wasn't the time for them to enter Canaan land, to enter the promised land. But here's the thing, God hadn't closed the door. And because they failed to push through, because they failed to hear God, they missed out on the blessing that God had for them. As a matter of fact, if you remember, as we went through Exodus, not one from that generation, except for the two, Joshua and Caleb, the two that were good, not one, no one else except for those two got to experience the promised land. And I don't know about you, but I want to be someone who listens to the voice of the Lord, who follows him and experiences the promised land that he has for me, that experiences his blessings in my life. And the section of scripture we're going to look at this morning gives us some good insight on how to listen to God's voice and how to follow him. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now, just to give you some background, last week we looked at Hannah, who had been barren and prayed to God, please, you know, give me a child. If you give me a child, I will give this child back to you. I will dedicate him to you. And so God gave her a child, and she did that. She took him, after he was weaned, she took him to the temple and dedicated him to the Lord. And not just dedicated him in the way we do here, you know, dedicate him, go home. No, she left him at the temple. She literally gave him back to the Lord. And so Samuel was being raised in the temple by Eli. And so that kind of lets you know where we're at as we pick up here in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am, and he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me? But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me? My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now, you can only imagine at this time that Eli is kind of feeling like we do as parents with young kids, right? At bedtime, right? You know, I heard something, Mom. What? Something's in my closet. So, what? Go back to bed. There's nothing, okay? Just go back to bed. So imagine Eli at this point is like, come on. I know you don't want to go to bed, but you need to go to bed because we got to get up in the morning and we got to do stuff. So go to bed. And so verse 7, it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And so we see here, Samuel hears the voice of the Lord for the very first time. As I prayed and read about these scriptures, God showed me four things that we can learn about hearing His voice. Before I share that, though, I want to do something. A few weeks ago, if you were here, I did an illustrated sermon where I had my son come up on stage and he was building this house of cards. And then I had Sean here that was coming up and he was building these bricks up on the stage here. And I pulled out a fan and I put the fan on the house of cards and they blew all over the place. I put the fan on the bricks here and they stayed firm. And we talked about, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. You remember? Some of you were here. And it's funny because people have said to me, man, I love it when you do illustrated sermons. Matter of fact, this morning I had a pitcher up here that was white full of salt to put out, and they thought it was my milk illustration that I've done with the Holy Spirit. People are like, oh, your illustration, you know. And so people love kind of those illustrated sermons or messages where they can see it. And so I thought, hey, maybe we should try that today. And so, you know, Rick seemed to volunteer this morning talking about this. And so I'm going to have Rick come up here this morning, and he's going to help me out. And so, Rick, I'm going to have you just come up here. It's real simple, okay? And this will be easy for you because you love the drums, right? So stand right here and just face your drums. And no cheating, no turning around, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out in the crowd here, and I'm going to have two or three people just simply say, good morning, Rick. How are you today? And then you are going to identify and tell me who it is that said that, okay? All right, so listen closely.
Good morning, Rick.
Kevin. Okay, he knows it's Kevin, all right? All right, let's see if we can trick him a little bit here.
Good morning, Rick.
And your real guess is? Oh, what did you just say? All right, I forgot to tell the person they can't disguise their voice. They got to speak normal.
Morning, Rick.
Okay, you just ruined my entire illustration. Yeah, that was your wife, Luann. All right, here's another one.
Good morning, Rick.
All right, you can grab a seat. That last one there was Justin, who is new today, and so unless you went back to meet him, you would not know him. And I don't know if I should have done that illustration or not, because I don't know if it really worked for what I was trying to explain. Because point number one, why didn't you know Justin's voice? Because you didn't know him, right? He's never even heard his voice before, unless you went back and met him in between services. And it's the same reason, why didn't Samuel recognize God's voice? Because it said in verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the word of the Lord. It had not yet been revealed to him. And now my point that doesn't translate quite as well here this morning because of Rick. But he did say, I think it's Luann. So, but here's number one, point number one. To hear God's voice, we have to know Him. To be able to identify God's voice, we have to know Him. We have to have relationship with Him. Now, there are two parts to this point. The first has to do with salvation, right? Being part of God's family. In the Bible, it uses the illustration of being one of His sheep. As a matter of fact, our women's group right now is going through a study on Psalm 23, the shepherd with me. The fact that he is our shepherd. It's about Jesus being our shepherd. And a prerequisite to hearing the shepherd is you must be one of his sheep. You must know his voice. John 10:27 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And John 8:47 says this, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God." And it's talking about the reality. If you know God, you hear, you recognize His voice. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you don't hear His voice. You don't recognize. It's because it's the Holy Spirit that identifies through us, right? When we have the Holy Spirit in us, the indwelling, it enables us to hear the voice of the Lord. If we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, then it's impossible for us to hear the Lord. So when we come to that realization that we need a Savior, and we come to the place where we confess our sins and turn our life over to Jesus, the great shepherd, then the Holy Spirit comes in and gives us access to the Father, enables us to know the Father, to know His voice. Now in verse 1 it says, "In those days the word of the Lord was rare." And that's because they didn't have the Holy Spirit back then, right? Only specific people did God pour out His Spirit upon. Samuel ended up being one of those who God had poured His Spirit upon. But back then, before this, people didn't hear the Lord. They hadn't heard the Lord for a while because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. But when Jesus came to this earth and He conquered sin and death, He restored the relationship that we had with the Father, and He gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, "I am leaving, but it's good for you that I'm leaving, because then you will receive the Holy Spirit." So now we can once again communicate with the Father, and we can hear the Father's voice. We can recognize His voice through the Holy Spirit. But we have to know Him. And so there's the part of knowing Him by being a part of His family, but then there's this part of truly knowing who God is. And knowing Him goes beyond just asking Him to forgive our sins. It means spending time with the Lord. It means engaging in a relationship with Him, being with Him day in and day out. You see, most people would have said, "Yep, that's my wife." And the reason is you should know your wife's voice better than anybody else, unless maybe you guys just don't talk enough. And we'll talk after service about you guys talking more together, okay? I think he knew it was his wife's voice, but I think he was afraid to say Luann and it not be Luann. Yeah, sorry, man. We'll do marriage counseling afterwards, all right? But when we truly know someone in reality, We hear their voice. We recognize their voice. I can spot my kids' voice out. I hear them say something, and it's like, that's my son. Or especially if they're in trouble, you know. I could recognize my little boy or my daughter when there was trouble. It's like, "Oh, that's Emma's," and I would run, and I knew their voice. And when we know someone, when we're with them day in and day out, we know their voice. And in a marriage relationship, you normally know their voice. How many of you know in the Bible we're referred to as the bride of Christ? Right? We're referred to as the bride of Christ. In Revelations, the church, which is us, we are the church, is referred to as the bride of Christ. And that's the kind of relationship that God desires with all of us. A close, intimate relationship, one where we love each other, where we spend time together, and where we truly know each other. And I can mess with Rick and Luann over there because I know they have a wonderful relationship, and I know they actually know each other. So we'll blame it on the microphone is what we'll blame it on, and the nerves and all the stuff going on to play that out. But the only way we're going to know the voice of God is if we know Him, if we know Him as our Savior. Now, there are many ways that we can know Him better, But I would encourage you to start right here by His Word. It's one of the ways that he gives us to share, to let us get to know Him. And there are numerous times that God will speak to us right here through His Word. As we read, the words will jump off the page at us because it's God speaking to us. And so starting with the Word, starting with prayer, just taking time to pray, to talk to Him, and to let Him talk back to us. And so I would encourage you too, as you pray, to say, God, reveal Yourself to me. Allow me to hear Your voice. Help me to know You more, to know Your voice. Because to hear God's voice, we have to know Him. And then my second point this morning is this. To hear God's voice, we actually have to be listening for it. We have to be attentive to it. In verse 8 and 9, it says this. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now, it doesn't say that he was listening intently, but I think it's safe to assume that you can imagine as a young boy being told, you know what, that's the voice of the Lord. Go back to your room, you know. Go back to your room, and if he speaks again, you can imagine that Samuel was just there like, eyes wide open. He probably wasn't sleeping anymore that night, right? It's like, I want to hear it one more time. I want to hear it. I want to be able to say, speak. Your servant is listening. But you can imagine he went and he was there with attentive ears, just waiting, listening to hear the voice of God. Plus, we have to understand this about Samuel. It was in his nature to listen. As a young boy who was learning to serve under the leadership of Eli, he regularly would be listening for the voice of his master, who up to this point was Eli. This is why when he heard someone calling, when he heard his name, he ran to Eli because he is the one that he would answer to. He is the one that he would go to. He's the one that would normally be calling Samuel. And he was used to listening for his name to be called, and he would run to Eli so that he could help him with whatever he might do. He had literally been trained, or was being trained, to listen. And he valued his master, so he was always attentive, and he was always listening for his voice. And I think we need to train ourselves to listen for the voice of the Lord. Because the truth is there are so many things that can distract us in this world. There are so many things that can keep us from actually hearing His voice. So if we're not listening for God, in today's world and society, the reality is we're probably not going to hear Him if we're not trying to hear Him. Let me share an illustration with you. It's titled The Native American and the Cricket. This is from an old youth specialties book from years ago, but I love this illustration. It's a great illustration. It says this, a Native American and his friend were in downtown New York City, walking near Times Square in Manhattan. It was during the noon lunch hour, and the streets were filled with people. Cars were honking their horns, taxi cabs were squealing around corners, sirens were wailing, and the sounds of the city were almost deafening. Suddenly, his Native American friend said, do you hear that? Hear what? I hear a cricket, his friend said. Are you serious? You got to be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket in all this noise. No, I'm sure of it, said his Native American friend. I hear a cricket. Dude, you're crazy. The Native American began to kind of listen carefully and move his ear around. And then he slowly walked across the way to this big cement planter where some shrubs were growing. He looked into the bushes beneath the branches and reached in and pulled out a small cricket that he had located. His friend was utterly amazed. He goes, that's incredible! You must have like superhuman ears. No, said his friend. My ears are no different from yours. It really just depends on what you're listening for. But that can't be, said the friend. I could never hear a cricket and all this noise, even if I was trying to listen for it. Yeah, maybe that's true, came the reply. It depends on what is important to you. Here, let me show you an example. He reached into his pocket, pulled out his cell phone, and he made it ring. With the noise of the crowded street still blaring in their ears, he noticed every person within 20 feet reach for their pocket, look at their phone to see if it was their phone that was ringing. See what I mean? Said his friend. It all depends on what's important to you. And so the question is, what's important to us? What is it that we hear above the other noises? I know this is true because I'm a man. And my wife will say, hey, honey, and I'll go, what? And she'll start to talk to me and she'll tell me a whole thing. And I'm even looking at her, but I've got other things going in my mind. And then she'll say, so? And I'll be like, I'm sorry, honey. I was not listening to a word you just said. But you were looking at me. What I was looking at my computer was going through my mind as you were staring everything. I was looking at you, you were talking, but I was not listening. It's important to be listening for God. If we're not listening for God, we're not going to hear Him. And so we have to be attentive to His voice. We have to make it a priority to listen to the Lord, even in the midst of the noise. Now, the third thing I discovered about hearing God's voice is this. Number three, to hear God's voice requires faith. In verse 10, it says, the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Now, how did he know it was God's voice? He didn't. Right in verse 7, it says that the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. He had never heard God's voice. So why did he respond in the way that he did? Because of faith. He trusted that Eli knew what he was talking about. He had never heard the voice of the Lord, but he trusted in what Eli was saying. And in faith, he said, speak, your servant is listening. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever heard God speak in an audible voice to you. I know I haven't. I've been in church my whole life, and I have never had God speak to me in an audible voice. I know people that have. I've talked to people recently that have heard an audible voice. I have never heard an audible voice. And so when that crazy voice in my head said, are you willing to give up youth pastoring to become a senior pastor? How did I know it was the Lord? By faith. By faith, because I know I wouldn't come up with that on my own. Because I've heard the Lord speak to me before. I've heard His voice. And so by faith, I knew that it was God. I didn't hear an audible voice. I just knew in my knower, right, that it was the Lord. Now, here's the thing, though. The truth is, I've had numerous times in my life where I've heard voices in my head. I'm sure we all have, or am I the only one? But I've had many times where I've heard these voices, and I've tried to tell myself, well, no, that's not God. Right, because I didn't want to do it. People might think I'm crazy if I do that. A guy will laugh at me if I do that. I'm not going to go say that to that person, right? I've had numerous times in my life where I've tried to tell myself that it wasn't the Lord, especially when He's asking me to do something I didn't want. And here's the thing. When I lacked faith, I generally wrote those things off as my own thoughts or bad pizza or something, right? My lack of faith kind of convinced me that, no, that's not God. That's just something else. And here's the thing is, when I look back at some of those instances or moments in my life, I think it was probably the Lord. And because of my lack of faith, I missed out on opportunities that God had put before me. But There were times when I was full of faith, where I was bold. And in those times, I've done crazy things, gone to talk to people that I don't know, ask them questions that no stranger should ask you, you know, if you don't know the person. It's trusting in the Lord. It requires faith sometimes to do the things that God's asking you, to know that it's actually Him, to know that it's His voice. It's trusting in our relationship with Him. I know You, Lord. I know the things that You would ask me to do. And though I don't want to do this, I have faith and I believe that it's You, and it takes faith. And the thing is this is my perspective on this idea of things as they come through our head, right? Those thoughts that pop into our minds. My perspective is this. If it doesn't contradict the Word of God, if it isn't harmful to others, if it isn't wrong, if you won't go to jail for it, then what can it hurt? What can it actually hurt? I actually heard a pastor once say that one of his professors in Bible college challenged them as students in this area of acting on the voice of the Lord. And he challenged them over the next week or two. He said, I want you that any time you feel an urge to do something, as long as it, you know, doesn't contradict the Word of God, as long as it isn't wrong, as long as it's not harmful, you know, I want to encourage you to do it and see what happens. And this pastor talked about how he found himself doing things like helping push the grocery carts in at the store because there was a bunch in the area. Doing just random kind acts for people out of nowhere. But he said the more he did it, the more he felt led to do more. And the more he responded to these urges, the more he was then able to know and to decipher which was God and which wasn't God. And the truth is, I think we overcomplicate hearing God's voice. Because I believe He's speaking to us all the time. There are numerous times where God is speaking to us and we overcomplicate. We fail to realize that those urges to do things for others, those urges to do things that bless people are the voice of the Lord and not us. And as we learn to be faithful with these little things, it's then that God begins to give us the big things. Which kind of leads me to my fourth and final point this morning as far as learning to hear the voice of God. Number four is this. To hear God's voice requires obedience. And probably a better way to say that is this, is if we want to continue to hear His voice, it requires obedience. If you were to continue in 1 Samuel 3, you will find that God told Samuel some things about Eli's family and what was going to happen and some not pleasant things for Eli and his family. And then it begins to share where Eli talks to Samuel, and I want to read that to you this morning. In 1 Samuel 3, verses 17 through 21, it says this. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. I think Eli had some ideas of what was being said. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. Verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel heard the voice of the Lord. And then we see that he was obedient to the Lord. He spoke what God spoke. He shared the truth. He was obedient. And because of his obedience, I believe it's that reason that he continued to hear the voice of the Lord. You see, when God speaks to us, oftentimes it's to instruct us or to direct us in some way or another, in ways that we can follow Him. And his desire is that we hear him, that we hear his voice, and that we walk in obedience, that we do what he told us to do. The problem comes when we hear his voice and we don't respond. When we hear his voice and we fail to walk in obedience. And my encouragement to you this morning, because I've had people say to me, man, I haven't heard God. I just feel like God isn't speaking to me or hasn't spoke to me. And I think this, if we haven't heard the Lord speak to us recently, my encouragement is this, is to ask ourselves, what's the last thing we heard God say? Because maybe God has been silent because we failed to listen to the last thing that he told us to do. And until we listen and obey, he'll continue to be silent. I believe this disobedience can shut the door of communication with the Lord. When we fail to listen, when we fail to obey, it can shut the door of communication. While, vice versa, obedience opens the door for the communication with the Lord. When we walk in obedience, it opens the door for the movement of the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to allow us to hear the Lord. You see, God desires relationship with all of us. And he wants to be able to speak openly and clearly to each of us so that we can listen to his voice and that we can carry out his will. And I believe if we seek to truly know him, to know him better than we've ever known him before, to grow in our relationship with him, if we take time to listen, to be attentive, despite all the noises of this world, if we will listen to him, if we too have faith that he does speak, that he is God, and that he wants to speak to us, and believe that he does speak to us, and if we walk in obedience when he does, I believe we will hear the voice of the Lord and the plans that he has for us and for our lives so that we can follow him. And let me finish with this scripture. Bottom line, I think, is this. Jeremiah 29:13 tells us this. We put it up on the screen. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And it's that idea. Do we love the Lord? Do we want to follow him? Do we want to hear his voice? Because I think sometimes we don't want to hear his voice because we're afraid of what he's going to say. Maybe I should have titled my message, "Why We Don't Want to Hear God." Right? Because we don't want to hear God sometimes because we're afraid what he's going to ask us to do. We're afraid what he's going to tell us to stop doing. What he's going to tell us to give up. What he's going to tell us, period. But if we seek him, we'll find him when we seek him with all our heart. And if we truly love the Lord and we're seeking him with all our heart, it tells us we are going to find him. We're going to hear his voice. We're going to know that it's him. And that's really what following Jesus is all about. And that's how we're going to be able to truly follow him, by knowing him and knowing his voice and walking in obedience. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for Samuel, this young boy who at a young age learned what it meant to hear your voice. This young boy who grew up into an amazing man of God that heard your voice and carried out your will, Lord. I think of when he anointed David, Lord, how easily it would have been when the oldest brother, the most handsome, strongest brother walks in to be like, yeah, that's the next king. But he heard your voice. Nope, that's not it. And as they went down the line, nope, nope, nope. Do you have any other sons? Is there any? Oh, well, I have this little shepherd boy out, you know, tending the sheep. But he listened to your voice and he knew your voice and he was obedient. And because of that, your will was carried out, Lord Jesus. And I want to be someone who hears your voice, who is obedient, who follows you and carries out your will. And I pray that for all of us here this morning, Lord. May we learn, may we grow in our knowledge of who you are and knowing you, that we can hear your voice. May we have that faith to trust and believe that, Lord, you do speak to us. You want to use us to carry out your will. You want us to be Jesus followers who love you, who serve you, and live the lives that you've called us to live. And so we thank you for these things, Lord. May you allow these things just to penetrate our hearts, to speak to each of us where we're at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.